Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Show.
Congratulations on getting through 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is a sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Brandon Kiley. So we got the hits. I want to do something a little bit different. I just saw this, and I think it'd be a good exercise for us to do as a team. Ian Rappaport said that the NFL informed teams today that projections for the 2020 salary cap are in the range of $196.8 million to $201.2 million. That is a 40% increase from 5 years ago in the 2015 season. So the salary cap keeps going up and up and up. And with this new CBA, and I'm sure they're going to find a way to make more money, the salary cap is going to continue to increase. So right now, the Chiefs have the ability to carry over $21 million in their salary cap. Certainly gives you enough money to sign Patrick Mahomes or sign Chris Jones, and probably both if you do a little bit of funny money, but won't allow you to do a lot of moves in free agency. But they have some decisions on who they need to cut in order to create more cap space. BK, hit the NFL music. I'm calling this the hits today. So Kent Swanson says if they cut.
We also have the hits coming up.
We can do that too. Sammy Watkins, Laurent Duvernay, Tardif, Cam Irving, Damian Williams, Darren Wilson, Daniel Sorensen, or Austin Ryder. They could clear $55 million in cap space, which you could certainly do a lot of things with. We're going to play a special Tinder Tuesday on Are You Keeping or Cutting? Sammy Watkins next season, Sean Levine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you serious?
I'm asking Sammy Watkins.
I'm swiping to the left, bro. You're gone. Not interested. Thank you very much.
You try to trade him, and when everybody tells you, no, we're not giving you anything for that salary, you say we'll cut him.
You think that is that's even a conversation that another team would pick up the phone? Like, if you called me and then Brett Veach says, Sammy Watkins, I'm hanging up the phone before you ever get a chance.
Well, there's other teams that will. It's kind of like the salary dump that the Rams just did with Aqib Talib, right? There's another team out there that's going to tank next year, and they say, listen, we'll get Sammy Watkins. We'll hope that he ends up signing elsewhere for big money the year later, and then we get a better draft pick the following year than we got this year. That's kind of the way you play it.
Laurent,
I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, if the Chiefs cut him, they could save $5 million in cap space and $7 million if they designate him as a post-June 1 cut.
That's not available, by the way. Can't do that this year without with the new CBA.
I'll still answer the question because it's sports radio and it's fun. I'm swiping to the right. I mean, I know LDT's been a little bit underwhelming, but if we're talking about $5 million or $7 million hit, can you do better at that position? And we're talking about protecting Patrick Mahomes. So even though he's been underwhelming, I'm still swiping to the right for the doctor.
You can do better. They have better on their roster right now. He's his backup, Wisniewski. I'm cutting him next year.
I will say, if this team is going to improve on the offensive line, at some point you got to say no to somebody. I don't think Fisher's going anywhere. I don't think that Mitchell Schwartz is going anywhere. How do you improve the offensive line in a season in which you can't run the football? You're spending a lot of money on that offensive line, and they got other needs. I do think that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is going to be off the team. Moving on, Cam Irving. Do you think Cam Irving's going to be on the team next year? Yes or no?
Why? I mean, can't you go out there and find a Cam Irving off the street or in the sixth round of the draft or something like that? I'm swiping to the left. No way Cam Irving's on this team next year.
I think he's going to be on the team. I think they like him. We don't have to like him. I think they like him. He can play tackle. He can play guard. If they need him to in a pinch, he can play center. He's been in the system. They say it's really hard to learn the system. I think they keep Cam Irving.
He can be on the field for all those positions, but can he play them? And can he play them
well? He's fine on the inside. He's really bad at tackle, and the problem is he wants to play tackle.
I think Cam Irving's going to be back for the very simple reason is he's cheap and versatile. Like, they are in a situation where next year if they cut Cam Irving, there's no dead cap. So it's basically, do you want Cam Irving on the team, yes or no? You don't. There's no financial ramifications. If you cut and move on from Cam Irving, there's zero against the cap for you doing so. He's due $2.7 million and then $1.4 in signing bonus.
So he's about $5 million against cap. I didn't realize it was that expensive. Yeah, he's probably going to get cut for that.
Ooh, he's cut. Yeah, his cap hit is $4.68 million. I think for his versatility, he makes a lot of sense, but you probably can't find a more versatile player for cheaper than $4.6 million against the cap. Damian Williams, BK, Damian Williams, should he be gone or not gone? I already know where you're going to be at, so I don't even need to ask you. I already know.
Oh, I got to look at the contract. How much does he save if they cut him? Because I think they like, it's $2.8 million. I wouldn't be surprised if Damian Williams is back next year as their third down running back. He will not be your starting running back next year. I would not be surprised if he's back as your third down running back as a guy that they like as a pass catcher.
You think you know what I'm going to say, and you're right. I'm going to say no. I'm cutting him. I'm going to the left, obviously. But for a couple of million dollars?
I mean, next year his cap hit is $2.8 million, so a nothing contract.
If he's actually a starting caliber NFL running back, then $2.8 million is nothing. The problem is he's actually not a starting NFL caliber running back. So you're going to need some warm bodies to run the football. They got a lot of them this year, a lot of them, a lot of quantity, not a lot of quality. I think there's probably going to be two or three different running backs on the roster this year than last year.
You can't have Darryl and Damian both come back next season. Can I have both?
Bet they're probably both gone.
So, I mean, so I expect next year Darwin Thompson to be a bigger part of the rushing game than he is. I expect them to either go in free agency and spend the same contract they spent on Damian Williams, 2 years, $6 million, 2.8. To go out and get a running back, and I expect them to spend some mid-round draft pick on a running back.
If you think they're going to do both of those things, then one of them has to be gone, no question. But I don't think they're going to add anybody in free agency. I think they're going to draft somebody.
And if they draft somebody, then I would say, again, I don't think they can bring both of them back next year. I don't think that both of them make sense. I don't think Damian's going to be back, but cap hit, $2.8 million is not very significant.
I'd rather have Venus Williams or Montel Williams at this point. If they make less money, like, seriously, what does Damian do great? What does Damian Williams do?
He's a really good pass catcher. We've talked about this. He's a really good pass
catcher. But they got one of those, Darwin.
He's not a really good pass catcher. Not proven. We don't know that at all.
All right.
Last one we can do is Daniel Sorensen. I feel like we've been trying to cut Daniel Sorensen off the team for 6 years. At this point, he's going to retire a Chief, and he might be in the Ring of Honor at this
point.
He's
paid a lot of money from the Chiefs.
I don't even want to play the are they going to cut Daniel Sorensen game. He's going to get a raise and probably start next year over Juan Thornhill.
He's been on this team since the Millard Fillmore administration. He's not going anywhere.
He played for Marty. I'm 100% convinced that Daniel Sorensen played for Marty Schottenheim.
He actually started the Marv Levy era. Not a lot of people know that. Yeah, he's been playing now for 29 years for the Chiefs, which is a record. Franchise record and NFL record. I mean, pretty cheap option. Decent player. Tough to find better than that off the street. And lifetime contract, it seems like. Yeah, he's going to be on the Chiefs next year.
I mean, he's been on the team since Perry Ellis' freshman year at Kansas, which was 1997. I mean, that's a long time to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it has.
He's the only current player who is also a Chiefs ambassador like Bill Moss.
A lot of people don't know that. He's been a Redcoat for 15 years.
I know. It's very crazy. But no, Daniel Sorensen, we keep talking about them going to cut him. But no, he is going to be on the team next season. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we will go inside the mind of the machine. But BK, now we can get to the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
That's what we do on this show. Curveballs. Y'all wasn't expecting me to throw that out at the 5 o'clock hour to let you know what's going to happen with this team moving forward. That's what I do.
I was expecting fastball. You gave us screwball.
I'm bad, baby. That's how I get down. Somebody in the text line got that. That's all I care about.
Hit number one, the Patriots once again in hot water.
Cheaters.
Admitted to filming the Bengals sideline on Sunday, but they say that the football side nothing to do with this. They didn't know anything about it. Tell us all about it, Bill Belichick.
You know, evidently this is our production people on the TV show that were there, and we have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce, direct, or shoot or anything. I've never even seen any of their tapes or anything else. So this
I've
is
never
something
seen
that
the tapes.
We 100% have zero involvement with. This is something that you'd have to talk to the production people about or what they were doing or whatever it was.
You buying it, C-Dot?
It actually reminded me a lot of this.
Josh Carew will be told to the NCAA.
Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm sure it's, well, I believe at some point there will be some things, obviously, that can be released, that could be public. But at this point, you can't talk about details of the case or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure, Bill. I'm sure you can't talk about the details of the case. You can always tell if Bill's telling the truth by how his speech is. If Bill's stuttering up a storm, Bill is lying his ass off, and he's trying to think on the fly while he's coming up with a lie. If he's talking clear, like whenever he's talking about his team and they're soft and can't guard anybody, Bill sounds like Barack Obama when it's time to talk. But whenever he's out there lying up a storm, oh my goodness, Bill can't put sentences together.
Take it from somebody that has told that exact same lie. It was 1996, and my dad said, "Son, somebody's been watching my tapes. may have involved Jenna Jameson, Ron Jeremy. It doesn't matter. And my excuse was, I've never seen any of those tapes. My dad didn't believe me at the time, and I don't believe Bill Belichick. He's lying right through his teeth. Although, I mean, are we surprised? And do we think the Patriots ever stop cheating? That's the real question. We're pretending like, what? The Patriots are cheating again? Whatever you do, if it's bad, most of the time your answer is going to be, that's the first time I've ever done it. You get caught stealing from a grocery store, first time I've ever done it. No, it's the first time you've got caught. Something tells me the Patriots have been cheating successively and not stopped since, I don't know, Spygate or before that.
I don't think there's really any shock in all of this, but I think more than anything, I'm just confused at why you needed to cheat to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are 1-12. 1-12. If there's anything that I know the 2019 New England Patriots can do, it's beat bad teams.
It's like a compulsive liar, though. They lie for no reason. Like, you don't have to, but you still do. The Patriots are so ingrained in cheating that even though it's just the Bengals and they can beat them playing straight up, that's just what they do. They cheat. They're used to it. It's second nature.
I mean, like, you should be able to convince Silvio De Sousa to go to Kansas over in Maryland, but you got to call up TJ Gasnola to make sure that that's where he goes. I get it. Compulsive. Compulsive buying of players.
This has nothing to do with KU, Adidas, or any of the like.
I'm just telling you that it reminded me of that. It doesn't seem a little similar.
No.
Okay, I'm making sure.
Bengals are so bad. They went away from Andy Dalton to tank, and we're like, all right, we did our job. We're so bad we can go back to the quarterback that actually gives us a legitimate shot to win.
Sean, I still got some extra One Gotta Go Cheater editions from earlier. Do you want to play again?
Of course.
So earlier, if you missed the podcast, we played One Gotta Go Cheater editions where I named some of the great cheaters of all time and I put Bill Self in there. If you want to play again, I'm ready to play.
I mean, you know I love games. Mousetrap, Battleship, One Gotta Go, Carrington's Hypothetical Button Game, Mind of the Machine. If it's a game, I'm in.
No, I hear you.
Hit number two, the defense.
I just want to know. He said, I've never seen any of their work before. It's the Kraft production. And they're doing a documentary, supposedly, about your football team.
I'm telling you, I said the same thing to my pops. Jenna J, I've never seen her work before. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Hit number two is the defense for the Chiefs. They finally stood up to the boogeyman. Here's what Therese Paylor had to say.
How nice was it for you guys to watch the Chiefs in a big game against a good team on defense actually go after the quarterback? Stunt. How fun was that? It was aggressiveness. Instead of just taking it and taking it and taking it, they were bringing the fight to the Patriots. And I thought that was great.
C-Dot, are you finally willing to believe in this Chiefs defense moving forward?
I mean, I do believe in the Chiefs defense. How I've been saying, how we know what certain teams are and we just don't want to take the information. The same way I feel about the Chiefs defense, I know exactly what the Chiefs defense are.
Are you a believer? Or are you a believer?
I'm just a believer.
Okay.
I think physical teams that can run the ball really effectively and have good offensive lines give the Chiefs a lot of problems defensively. If you don't have that, then you're not a team that gives the Chiefs problems defensively, like Denver. Denver's not a team that gives the Chiefs a lot of problems defensively. They're improved at the quarterback position, but their offensive line isn't one that can exploit the weaknesses of the Kansas City Chiefs. We've seen the teams that run against them. We've seen this team play one good offense in the last month. That was the team that could score and move the ball against them. We've seen them play, I would say, three mediocre offenses over the last four weeks. Los Angeles, the Chargers, the Oakland Raiders, and the New England Patriots. And they stopped all of those teams. So I'd be worried about teams like Houston that can beat you multiple ways, a team like Baltimore that can beat you multiple ways. But a team like New England, who can only beat you through defense and special teams, that's not really a team that gives this defense a lot of problems.
To me, the best thing I saw on Sunday was the pass rush. And again, by the numbers, it wasn't as good as it was a month and a half ago versus Joe Flacco. But they had Tom Brady on the run the entire day. He was uncomfortable, and he showed it. We said heading into that game, is Tom Brady at the point in his career where he can beat you on his own like we've seen in the past? The Chiefs made him do it, and the answer was no, he couldn't. He had the ball at the end of the game in the red zone, and guess who stopped him? The Chiefs defense. And a lot of that was the stars, the blue chips. A lot of that was Frank Clark. He was great. A lot of that was Chris Jones. He did what he's done this entire season, really the past couple of years. With BK, the most positive thing to me was you got contributions from everywhere. Tano Passanio's name got called. Derek Nnadi's name got called. And the guy who made the play of the game, if not the play of the season, if the Chiefs end up the 2 seed, Bashaud Breeland. So they're getting contributions from everywhere. Let's give some credit to guy at the top, Steve Spagnuolo.
Three.
Final hit of the day. We couldn't do it yesterday. C-Dot opted out. Today we're doing it. The Tigers officially announced Eli Drinkwitz as their next football coach. Got a 6-year deal worth more than $4 million per season. Here's Eli Drinkwitz at his opening press conference.
And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the SEC East.
So, that makes Dan don't care about Missouri. He just care about the Chiefs.
Other than saying that he wants to win the Sun Belt at Mizzou, of course. That was
this man went on there really quick, BK. This man really went up there today and said, you know what, man? It's not about the money for me. I really feel in my heart this is the best place for me and my family. The best place for me and my family would be any place that would take me from my $700,000 a year job and I could make $4 million. That's where any place. Hey, any radio station wants to quadruple my salary, I'll find a way to make me and my family happy with that job. On a very serious note when it comes to Eli Drinkwitz, I'm cautiously optimistic about the hire. There's no track record that would suggest to me that this is going to work or going to fail. So I have no reason but to be cautiously optimistic. He's young. He's energetic. I think recruits will like him. I think he'll be able to sell the product to the fans. I think he's a young, creative offensive mind. But he was only the head coach at Appalachian State for 4 months and 13 games. He just started coaching Division I football. I have no clue to believe that it's going to work or it's not going to work. I would guess that he hasn't even played many of his own recruits. Like, I don't think that he did a lot of recruiting to the Appalachian State team, so I just don't know how I can evaluate this hire. So I'm going into it. I like it more than what they were going to do. They were going to try to sell me BS. And to quote Jay-Z, you can't sell me BS. We know the prices. You weren't going to sell me Blake Anderson, dog. No, you were not going to sell me Skip Holtz and tell me this was a new direction for the Missouri program. This actually has a chance to be a new direction. If this works and you have a 42-year-old young offensive-minded head coach, the sky's the limit for Missouri football.
He's 36.
I know, but I'm saying is like down the line, like if he's that age or if it fails, then you know what? He's getting fired. And Jim Stark, you can get fired too. It's that simple.
Sean, I got to ask you this question, though, because I know you'll hate the hire regardless. He said from all the way to Kansas City to St. Louis, from the northernmost point of Missouri to the COD part of Missouri. The hell is the COD part of Missouri? The COD part. I don't understand.
Google it. I have no idea what the COD part of Missouri means. I mean, maybe he was just misspeaking again because he did say that he wanted to go out there and win the Sun Belt Conference. Can I quote Jay-Z also?
Go ahead.
Since you did it. Money ain't a thing, or was that Jermaine Dupri?
That was both of them.
Okay, well, either way. Money ain't a thing, clearly, at MU. Like, they were able to give some guy, if they would have gone out there and gotten Memphis' coach or Boise's coach, and you told me it was $4 million a year, I'd say that was about right. But for a guy that was at Appalachian State, Drinkwitz, who I never heard of before 48 hours ago, to get $4 million a year, clearly for MU, money ain't a thing.
No, it's a great gig. No, it's a fantastic
gig. It's a great
gig. You can get it. No, it's an amazing gig.
He was making $750,000 a week ago.
But
what,
come up.
What did he do before? I know you guys aren't Drinkwitz experts right now. I don't know if anybody is. But
he's been like an offensive. I mean, people that are in
the
sport
of college
football.
How can you parlay one season at Appalachian State?
He was at the right place at the right time a whole hell of a lot. He was underneath Gus Malzahn when Gus Malzahn was a high school coach. When Gus Malzahn got the job at Auburn as the offensive coordinator, he brought Drinkwitz with him to Auburn as like a quality control coach and then brought him with him to Arkansas State when he got the head coach there. Eventually was the OC there. That's where he met Brian Harsin. He followed Brian Harsin to Boise State, was his OC, and then went over on his own to NC State, was the OC there for 3 years, and eventually became the head coach for one season at Appalachian State, and now he's at Mizzou. It's been a hell of a rise for him. That's over the last decade. He moved from all of those different parts. He was a high school coach 10 years ago, high school assistant coach.
Sometimes it's not about being talented. It's about attaching yourself to the right guy, which is why I'm trying to do that with Carrington. No, it's just crazy for me to think that they were talking about this retread, and they were talking about Lane Kiffin, and they were talking about getting the next great young hire, and they ended up with Eli Drinkwitz. I don't know, BK, you went to MU, I went to KU, if drinking games are quite as big as they are on your campus as they were mine. But I hope in Columbia, they've already got a drinking game named after this guy. Drinkwitz, that's perfect.
I mean, he just got there. I mean, believe me, they got a lot of time to come up with the drinking game for Eli Drinkwitz. Congratulations to him.
I've been told they're thinking about Drink Mo Beer as the potential slogan for next year.
Absolutely. And you can now buy beer at the stadium, right?
That is actually a pretty good one.
Why would you not do that?
I want to play this for you very quickly. This is from Therese Paylor. And he was talking a lot about the boogeyman and how the Chiefs went out and defeated the boogeyman.
But how nice was it for you guys to watch the Chiefs in a big game against a good team on defense actually go after the quarterback? Stunts. How fun was that? It was aggressiveness. Instead of just taking it, they were bringing the fight to the Patriots. And I thought that was great.
I don't know about you guys, but I think that every boy has this like very pivotal moment in their life.
Here we go.
I remember the first time I beat my dad in something. I'm not going to lie to you. I looked at my dad a little bit differently when I knew that if we could go, like, any dispute that we had, we can go in the backyard right now and play basketball and you can't beat me. Like, I just had a different level of respect for him after that. Like, you couldn't really tell me nothing at 15 years old that I could beat my dad in one-on-one. Like, athletically, I felt like he couldn't touch me anymore.
Mine was checkers. I beat my dad in checkers, and I was like, oh.
See what I mean?
Okay.
BK, I'm sure yours was something. I don't even want to know. You and your dad ran some marathon, and then you beat some 55-year-old man in a marathon, and you thought you were Forrest Gump all of a sudden. But I think that every boy has that moment. I think the Chiefs had a very similar feeling when, let's face it, last year in these type of games against legitimate playoff teams, they came really close, but they didn't win any of those games last year. They came really close to beating the Patriots last year. They didn't beat that team. They came really close to beating the Rams last year. Didn't beat that team. They came really close to beating the Seahawks last year, but didn't beat that team. This year, you had a national stage against a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You had the ability to wipe out everything that people have been saying about you, and you were going up against a team that, game plan-wise, the Chiefs clearly had a plan on defense. We know we can beat this team. That I think that last year was about putting themselves in this conversation. This year, I think it's about being the conversation and being at the top of that conversation. That I would say once you get past the two teams that I think have the best chance of going to the Super Bowl, at least based on what we've seen so far this regular season, I would say the Niners and the Ravens. Man, that conversation of that next 3 to 4 teams, you have to firmly put Kansas City. You beat Baltimore earlier this season. You just went to New England and dominated that team. You cannot have a Super Bowl conversation without including the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Sunday was as much about that. I also think it was as much as this was the team that stopped us from going to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs and the fans should feel like if we do a couple of things differently in that game against New England, we are the team that's holding the Lombardi Trophy. We're being looked at as the team that ended the Patriots run. We're the Super Bowl champions. You got a chance to beat that team and then maybe kick a little bit of dirt on them in their place. And to me, the Chiefs took every advantage to do that on Sunday.
I agree with everything you just said, but I think it's a little bit disingenuous not pointing out timing, whether we're talking about how important timing is in life or in the game of football. The Chiefs got Baltimore before they were this Baltimore team, the best team in the NFL. If the Chiefs would have played the Patriots the first month of the season, they were closer to the Super Bowl champion Patriots than what we've seen and what we saw a couple of days ago. So, yeah, on their resume, it says they beat the Patriots and they beat the Ravens. The timing worked out pretty well for both those matchups.
No, the timing absolutely worked out. But I think at this point, like, you and I might disagree on certain teams and what they are and what they aren't. I think we know exactly what the Chiefs are. I think they're a good offense that at times has a chance to be great but hasn't consistently played at that level. I think we've seen that this is a defense that for the most part should be able to hold up and then really struggles with very physical teams. Like if they play Buffalo, if they play Tennessee in the playoffs, if they play a team like Baltimore in the playoffs, those teams are going to run the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like stopping Sonny Michel is not telling me that you're going to be able to stop Derrick Henry if you play them in the playoffs. But I would say a majority of the other teams, so probably like 25 other teams in the NFL, they should line up well against them. There's no reason to think that they can't show out defensively against Denver. There's no reason to believe against the Chicago Bears that you can't stop Mitch Trubisky and stop their running game. They've shown time and time again, those are teams that they go out and play really well against. And New England's one of those teams.
We can talk about this, see that more on the other side, but do you think this team, where they are right now, is better built to win a Super Bowl? Or I can word it a different way. Do you think this year's team right now would beat last year's team? Because I do. Their offense isn't quite as good and probably never will be. And Pat was clearly better last year by the numbers, however you want to judge it. I think this year's team is clearly better built to actually win a championship.
Let's answer that question on the other side. I do think it's interesting. Plus, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. All that coming up is The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we will take a trip inside the mind of the machine. So before the break, you asked me who would win a game, last year's team or this year's team. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. I think that there's two different answers. If you're asking me who's better equipped to win the Super Bowl, it's the team that can actually play defense. This year's team is probably better equipped to win this year's Super Bowl because of their defense. I do think that last year's team was better. I think that last year's team was elite at more things. I think this year's team is just good at more things than last year's team. But last year's team had the ability to whatever team they play, we're going to score 30 or 35 on you, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah.
This year's team can't do so. Like, you and I think, disagree on this fundamental thing with the offense. You seem to think that there's another gear for this team, or that they're going to wake up magically one day and figure it out offensively and not be what they were last season, but be a dynamic offense. If you can't run the football effectively, I just don't know why teams should ever feel that way about you. Like, how you defend the Chiefs, I think, is pretty straightforward. You got to have the speed to be able to do it. You got to have the playmakers to be able to do it. But I think we know how to defend this Chiefs team because they're so one-dimensional. Last year's team, you couldn't do it. Even post-Kareem Hunt, they could still run the football effectively, that play action work. Why would you ever bite on play action with this team? Honestly, why would you ever? When they fake like they're going to hand the ball to Spencer Ware, why would you ever bite on that? No, stay home, stay disciplined. They're going to throw the football, or our front four are going to be able to stop it. So maybe that's a long way to answer your question. I think that last year's team was better and had a higher ceiling. I think this year's team is better equipped because the AFC is more wide open, and defensively there is more well-rounded.
You talk about the offense last year and how they could put up 30, 35, 40, hell, 50 against the Rams, and they could do that against anybody. That's true. You know what they couldn't do? Stop anybody. There wasn't one game last year, maybe the Jacksonville game, that you can point to and say that side of the ball is the reason why they won that game. This year, you don't have to look very far. Just look at that game a couple of days ago versus the Patriots. If it wasn't for the defense, it wasn't like the Chiefs put up 40 or 45. They only allowed 16 to the Patriots. So I think this year, the Chiefs are a much more complete football team. Their defense can beat you. Is their offense as good? No. But I think the main reason for that, there's two reasons. One, for a large portion of last year, you had Kareem Hunt. And we're starting to figure out through the course of a full season, that guy's really tough to replace. And two, you had the MVP at quarterback. 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. Nothing went wrong, including injuries. This year, Pat got hurt the first quarter of the first game. Then his knee was on sideways. And last game, he banged better, maybe higher ceiling Patrick Mahomes, where everything seemed to break the right way. I do think this team, because of their defense, would beat last year's team and is much better equipped to win a championship.
I would just say what worries me most about this team. I'd probably put the run defense against a physical team at number one. I would say number two, I don't think they have the kill shot. Like, I don't think they have the heavyweight knockout punch that last year's team had. I don't think they can run the clock out. Like, I love these random scenarios. I'll ask you both a scenario just popped in my head. BK, I want you in on this. Let's say the Chiefs are up 3 points. We'll go 7 points. 7 points. 8 minutes to go in the playoff game. They're up. They then punt the ball. The Chiefs have the ball on their own 20-yard line. What happens? 8 minutes left. The Chiefs offense has the ball. That's the ideal scenario that you want to be in. What do you think happens?
I mean, because the variables matter. Like, if they're playing this New England offense that
Tennessee.
We saw Tennessee.
Tennessee. So they first round of the playoffs at home at Arrowhead. The Chiefs are up 24-17. Tennessee just punts the ball back to Kansas City. They got the ball on their own 20-yard line with 8 minutes to go. What do you think happens? Because I think that this team punts the ball back to Tennessee with like 5:30 to go. Where last year's team, I think, wins the football game in that scenario. I think they either score a touchdown or Mahomes goes to him and says, we're not giving them the ball back. We can go down the field and score. I don't think this year's offense has that ability.
That's Kareem Hunt, though, that you're talking about. Like, that's having a feature running back that you're talking about, because that's the only difference. And you're right. The one thing that this team hasn't proved they can do is at the end of a game that matters. Save the Oakland game. My guy, Darwin Thompson, ran out the clock at the end of the game. That game didn't matter. You're already up by a couple of touchdowns.
But we say that, though, about Kareem Hunt. Last year's end of the season, the last three games, and if you want to add the two playoff games, they ran the football more effectively than they had at any point so far this season with almost identical pieces here. Now, I'm with you. They didn't have Kareem Hunt the second half of the season. If they had Damian Williams from the end of the season, this is the second best team in the NFL in my mind. Like, if they simply had the ability to run the football effectively, which I think would open things up for the passing game, or multiple times at the end of the game when this team is up, like yesterday, same thing that happened against Tennessee. They had the ball. They had the lead with 9 minutes to go, three and out, had to punt the football back. They got the ball again with 4 minutes to go and had to do so. I don't think that this team can run the clock out last year. It's not even to me about ability to run the ball successfully the rest of the game.
All right, well, then play my game real quick. Tom Brady's got the ball in the red zone with less than 1 minute left. You're in Gillette. What happens?
Let's stop.
This year. What happened last year? What would have happened last year? Don't even think about it.
They probably score.
Yeah, they come down the field, they score. We just saw that scenario a couple of days ago where Tom Brady had the ball in the fourth quarter, and it was the Chiefs' defense. That's right. He said the Chiefs' defense, but Bashaud Breeland at that, the secondary that made a stop. So to me, just because this defense is so much better than last year, this team is better.
So here's an interesting way to frame it.
Really quick, though, BK, I want to answer this question really quick, though. Last year's team, say what you want about last year's Chiefs' defense, and I'm not making any excuses for them. They didn't get really beat by bad quarterbacks a lot. I think Tom Brady is a bad quarterback.
They didn't beat anybody, though.
But I know,
This defense beats teams.
But I'm saying is teams that were scoring on the Chiefs last year, it was Rivers last year, who was really good last year. It was Roethlisberger last year, who was really good last year. It was Brady. It was Jared Goff. It wasn't really bad quarterbacks last year that were cooking this team. It was the elite quarterbacks that were cooking, and they played a bunch of them. I actually think they fare better against this Patriots offense than you two were giving credit last year's defense. Now, does last year's defense fare well against this year's Tennessee or this year's Baltimore? I don't think they do very well in those scenarios. Or this year's Houston? Probably not. But this year's New England Patriots team, I think they do better than you guys were saying.
They allowed 400 yards last year on defense to the Jaguars. I know a lot of that was in garbage time.
A lot of it was garbage time.
That defense was terrible last year.
No, last year's defense was not good, but they did turn over teams, they did get sacks, and they did dominate bad quarterbacks more than I think.
But now you're just going by the eye test. Like, you know damn well that there's no comparison between what last year's defense was that eventually, in my opinion, cost this team a Super Bowl and the defense that we've seen in the last couple of months that you could argue, I don't know if I want to say a strength, but compared to last year's defense, clearly not as much of a weakness.
Do you have more confidence this year in the Chiefs' opponent having the ball with the Chiefs up 4 and 2 minutes to go, or the Chiefs having the ball offensively down 4 with 2 minutes to go?
I'm still at the point where I want the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands because he's Patrick Mahomes, and he still has Travis Kelce, and he still has Tyreek Hill. Like, I feel pretty good if the Chiefs need to run a 2-minute drill to score a touchdown and win the game, that they've still got some of the best, including Andy Reid, weapons to do that. It's a good question, BK. I haven't come around that far on the defense just yet, even though I saw them do that against a great Tom Brady.
I think it really matters on the opponent, but for the most part, I'm on your side with the offense. I'd rather side with the offense. But it's against a team like New England, I don't really think there's
but
a bad
But the fact that
he
can even pose the question, like last year, 99.99999 repeating would have told you, I want the offense to be on the field. This year, that answer is going to be split.
I will say, though, I do think in one of their playoff games, they're not going to score 30 points.
And the defense has to win games for them like they've done 5 or 6 times this year, and I think they can.
It's more likely than not than in all of their playoff games that they're not going to score 30 points. What about this offense right now has anybody convinced that they're going to score 30 points against good teams in the playoffs?
I'm on your side. I mean, I've been saying about the offense the whole time. I mean, because I saw Arrowhead Pride, they did this thing, what's your most unpopular opinion about the team? I think this is the offense. Like, I do not think there is another gear. Like, I don't think there's a, well, what about X? No, I think this is the offense. I think we know this is the offense. I think we know that they're very reliant on Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce, and that's going to work, and that whatever playoff game they have, they're not going to run the football effectively.
I think the offense is good enough to win a Super Bowl and to win you playoff games. I think we've gotten a little bit, I don't know, lucky or spoiled last
year. Was it good
enough
on Sunday, you think? I'm saying better opponent, because New England couldn't score. Do you think that offensive effort wins at Houston? Do you think that offensive effort wins at Baltimore?
I'm not trying to sidestep your question. It's what BK said about 15 minutes ago. The growth of Patrick Mahomes is he does enough to win games. Last year, it was gaudy. It was 4 touchdowns and 400 yards and no interceptions and MVPs and 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. This year, it's what all the greats do. The Mannings, the Bradys, the Roethlisbergers, the Breezes. They do just enough where your team goes out there to win the football game. And I think that's what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes. That's what we saw on Sunday.
But I think we see that this offense, to me, leaves the door open a lot more than last year's team did. And it's kind of like, BK,
you
know, on Twitter.
Offense, just to kind of further your point, the Chiefs' offense, not the team, the offense, has scored more than 30 points. I believe it's twice since the Ravens game in week 3. They did it against
Denver.
No, the offense did not score 30 points.
Oh, okay.
The defense scored. They did it against Tennessee. They did it against the Raiders. That's it. Since week 3 of the NFL season, they've scored 30 points offensively twice. That's crazy, man. I don't know how anybody can have confidence in that offense, what we're talking about right now, because we're not talking about the 2018 offense anymore, scoring 30 points consistently in the postseason.
BK, you know those memes on Twitter where they show how some people eat chicken? And now some people just, like, eat every single piece of meat off the bone, and there's some people that leave a lot of meat on the bone. Last year's offense got every piece of juice and points that you can get out of an NFL season, last year's team got it. This year's team, this scenario is going to happen in the playoffs. They're going to have the lead late in a ball game, and their offense is going to have to put a 7-8 minute drive together to run out the clock, and they're not going to be able to. And then they're going to count on their defense. Can they get a stop and preserve this win for us? And we'll see if they can do it. But we've seen that scenario happen in basically every win that was a close game. Like against Tennessee, that exact same thing happened. They had a 3rd and 1. I was like, say whatever you want about the game. They had a 3rd and 1. They called a screen play to Blake Bell. It did not work. They had to punt the football back. Defense eventually gave it back. Like, we've seen that scenario where offense can't score or offense can't keep the lead. Then the defense is put on the field and have to come through with a stop. And in some scenarios they have, in some scenarios they can't. Against the Lions, remember, the Lions went down the field and scored, and then Mahomes had to bail them out. On Sunday, the offense could have put the game away. If the offense just gets another field goal in the second half, I think that game's put out of reach. They didn't. The defense multiple times had to get a stop and then get off the field.
You got a lot of skills, man. I mean, you're good behind the microphone. Clearly got a national radio show, and I've seen your jump shot. It's pretty good. Your best skill is eating a chicken wing. I've never seen somebody get all the meat off the bone like you.
I'm not out here playing around.
There is zero meat left.
You think I do
left.
This for play?
It's unbelievable.
I'm not out here doing it
it's
for
incredible.
Play. I'm not out here doing it for play at all. Coming up, we'll hand things over to the night shift. But before we do that, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
You done?
I'm done, man.
Speaking of food, I had Chinese today for lunch. Better side item, the egg roll or the crab rangoon?
Of all the times that you've seen me eat Chinese food, have you ever seen me eat egg rolls?
Never seen you with an egg roll.
Never. You always see me get crab rangoon.
Every time.
You know that. I hate egg rolls. Hate them.
Yeah,
I think
the
they're disgusting.
I don't hate egg rolls the way this guy does.
Disgusting. But
the answer
is this man is very opposed to egg rolls.
I haven't had an egg roll in like 6 years.
How do you feel about egg drop soup?
I mean, it just tastes like chicken broth. Like, it tastes like, you know, when you, like you know, whenever you make ramen noodles,
yes.
If you just took out the noodles and just got a spoon and just ate the soup, that's what egg drop soup tastes like. I don't know why I would eat that.
Will Joe Burrow be a better NFL player than the last couple Heisman winners, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray?
I really like Joe Burrow. I think he's really good.
He's kind of old, though, bro. He's 23. That's
that ain't old.
No, that's old. He's older than Lamar Jackson, which is crazy.
I think that tells you more about Lamar than it does Burrow, though.
I mean, I really don't want to not answer your question. I got to see the situation he gets drafted into. I really got to see
number
the situation.
Number one, the Cincinnati really Bengals. Important. There you go.
I'm just saying, like, Baker I still think is salvageable. I don't think he's salvageable with Freddie Kitchens, though. Like, if I am Cleveland, I'm moving on, and I'm hiring Ron Rivera. I'm telling Ron Rivera, what do we need to do? What's the number to make this work? I don't think he'll ever work with Freddie Kitchens.
I'll go ahead and answer your question. I think the answer is yes.
Take off your red shades for a moment. Who's the more fun?
You have those. I don't have them.
Well, I'm keeping mine on. I'm asking you the question. Who's more fun to watch play the quarterback position in the NFL? Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
I think they're just very different. Like, I don't want to not answer the question. I just think their skill set is very different. I mean, I'll go Mahomes because I'm in Kansas City, but I don't really know how much we can compare them. It's kind of like what I listen to Jay-Z for and what I listen to Future for are just so very different. Like, I'm going into it expecting so very many. Like, I enjoy Future's music a lot. I don't like as much as I like Jay-Z's music, but I'm not getting the same things.
So you're saying last year's Mahomes versus this year's Lamar?
Sure.
I think last year's Mahomes was more enjoyable. But if you're asking me this year's Mahomes versus this year's Lamar, it's obviously no contest. So I'll go last year's Mahomes, though, to answer your question.
Speaking
to me, to me, one's a drama and one's a comedy. Like, I would say, like, Lamar Jackson's Super Bad and Patrick Mahomes is Shawshank Redemption. They're both very, very funny movies. It's just hard for me to compare my love for the two.
Speaking of Lamar Jackson, besides the Ravens, BK, are the Titans the worst playoff matchup for the Chiefs?
Yeah, maybe including the Ravens. I don't want any part of the Titans. I don't. I know people look at me side-eyed whenever I say that. We've seen this. It's the only team in the NFL that Andy Reid has not beaten more than once in his career. It's the only team in the league. There's something about the matchup that isn't good for the Chiefs. The one thing that gives me optimism is what Therese said earlier today. The Chiefs will absolutely play the nobody believes in us card, and I think that potentially could help them because more often than not when the Chiefs play the Titans, it is, oh, we're going to go into this, roll the football out, and win.
I don't really think there's much of a difference between Kansas City and Tennessee. I think Tennessee's biggest problem is they waited too long to switch to Ryan Tannehill. Like, if they had made the switch to Ryan Tannehill 2 weeks earlier, I think we're talking about Tennessee being a 10-win football team, trying to be an 11-12-win football team, and maybe being the 3 seed in the playoffs.
BK, yesterday the Nats signed ace Steven Strasburg to a 7-year, $245 million deal.
$245 million.
smart move to let Bryce Harper walk and give the bag to Steven Strasburg?
No. Always pay the hitter, never pay the pitcher. This is a bad move. It's not a smart move at all for them. I don't get it, man. I understand that you want to keep the homegrown guy in place, but no, you should have kept Bryce Harper if you were going to be willing to pay this to somebody.
You're paying a 30-year-old pitcher who has a history of injury $250 million. This is crazy.
They shouldn't have gave either one of those guys the money. Give it all to Rendon. Guy's an absolute
stud. Well, now they're
going
to let Rendon walk, too.
Right?
It's not a smart idea.
It's
very, very bad.
Very questionable. Italian artist Maurizio Catalano.
Do you have any thoughts on that? The baseball thing?
I don't even know what baseball is.
He just gave them to us.
I don't even know what baseball is. Since you're talking about Italian, can I
shout? You're going to make me say this guy's name again, BK?
No, I was gonna shout somebody out. Yesterday, I went to Jasper's.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to lie to you. That place was amazing. Like, I'm not the biggest Italian person in the world. Like, I don't really, like, love their food. But, you know, I had a gift card.
I don't love their food. The Italian's food.
I had a gift card. So I went.
Shocker.
I'm telling you, I went in there and I had this chicken fettuccine. Oh, my goodness. It was delicious. So if you like Italian food more than I and you really appreciate it, oh, the service was great. The food was great. It was an amazing meal.
You know how I know Jasper's is an expensive, delicious meal?
It was just a great meal.
They don't list their prices online.
No, it was amazing. It was one of the best meals I had this year.
They've got the second best homemade salad dressing in town.
Who's first?
It's not as good. It's a place we get the wings from. Slip my mind right now. The big giant wings.
The peanut?
Yeah, the peanut. They've got the best blue cheese.
Oh,
I
wouldn't consider that to be a dressing. I think that's a different category.
How is blue cheese not a dressing?
I mean, you don't use their blue cheese on a salad.
If you go to the grocery store, what aisle is the blue cheese in?
To the dressing aisle. It's a dipping sauce, though, the way you use it there.
BK, it started off as a dressing. I hate to tell you. Started off on top of a salad the same way ranch did. And then people went, you know what? This might be good on other stuff, including chicken wings.
Nobody in the world is going to use the blue cheese from the peanut on your salad.
To
Nobody.
Be fair, both
the
of
hell
you,
they're not.
To be fair, both of you are right. Like I think that both. I don't think either one of you are wrong. I think you're both right. I'm just telling you. I went to Jasper's yesterday and I had an amazing meal. So shout out to them. It was fantastic.
Can I tell you about this Italian guy?
I'm just telling you about the Italian meal I had yesterday. It was to die for.
Maurizio Catalano's artwork was recently featured at this art gallery, and the art was a banana that was duct taped to a wall in the museum. Have you guys seen this story?
And then some guy ate it and they arrested him? Yeah, I saw it.
All right, well, you don't sound very excited about it.
I mean, I don't really know nothing else other than that.
$120,000 piece of quote-unquote art on the wall, which is a banana taped with duct tape. And what do you think happened? Well, see, that just gave it away. Somebody guy walked in and ate it. What should that guy's punishment be? I mean, essentially, he stole a $120,000 piece of art, technically. All it did was kick him out. No fine, no prison time, no nothing.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an answer, but I don't really know.
Probation,
weird, man. I don't understand.
Probation's what we were looking
like,
for.
God bless you guys that have the money to go out here and be paying that kind of money for something silly like that, but I don't get it.
There's this piece of art at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, and I'm a sports guy, and I'm an idiot, and I went to KU, and say what you will about me. I don't know what a nice piece of art looks like. I admit that. But
isn't it subjective? Don't you look at something and say, that's really nice, I want to own it?
I mean, when something's really ugly, can't you tell? Or when something's really beautiful, can't you tell?
Well, I think that's the beauty of art, that it's subjective.
That's what they tell me, but you know what I'm talking about if you're listening right now. It's brown, and they value it as the most expensive piece of art, the most expensive painting that they have at the museum. CDOT, it looks like my 9-year-old nephew spilled brown paint all over an empty canvas. That's all it is. Thing's worth $2 million.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like to me when everybody's like, man, your food tastes suck. Your food taste only has to be good to one person, you. That's the only person that needs to like the food that you like. I would say art's the same thing, that it doesn't matter what.
But Blue Stem is different from Wendy's, and everybody should be able to tell that.
I agree, but I'm saying is, I mean, then you made the determination that that's higher quality food, but.
I didn't make that determination. The Food and Beverage Administration did. Trust me, the meat that they're getting at Wendy's isn't as good as the meat they're getting at Blue Stem. But I didn't decide that.
But I could understand why if you like the burger at Wendy's more than you like the burger at Blue Stem. I could understand if that's what you like.
Then you haven't had the burger at Blue Stem.
I mean, I like the burger at a lot of places over traditional restaurants because I don't think they make great burgers a lot of times.
Actually, the junior bacon cheeseburger is fantastic.
Delicious. I don't know why you were hating on it.
Who we kidding? Number two, KU faces UW Milwaukee tonight. KU's a 26.5-point favorite. What are the chances at some point KU gets back to the number one team in the country this season?
I don't care. I think I care about KU's basketball team when they're going to be ranked number one. The only question I want you to answer to me about KU's basketball team is, when are the sanctions coming down from the NCAA? I don't care about that. What made you think I would care about that?
All right, let's talk about your school and their new hire.
I barely care about that, too.
Eli Drinkwitz. On a level of, be real with me, on a level of 1 to 10, rate your level of excitement how well this is going to work out. 1 being terrible, 10 being the best.
6.
BK?
I'm at a 7.
Y'all lying.
I really don't think that it's bad. I really don't think it's bad.
Why are we lying?
I just think that it's an unknown.
Because there are some small schools that at least you've heard of the coaches or whatever, the program the last guy, couple though. Of years.
I mean, I heard of the program at Appalachian State. I didn't know who their coach
was. How long was he the coach at Appalachian State?
1 year. For a year. And he beat South Carolina and North Carolina, something that program has never done.
Good luck. He's the man.
I mean, I just don't know. Like, you seem – you always talk to me. How do you know? You always play the how do you know game.
Hey, it
you
sounds like a great hire.
You seem very down on Eli Drinkwitz without
– I've been saying for years the Tigers should hire Eli Drinkwitz, and they finally did it today. I think it was a great hire.
Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. Check out the podcast page on theradio.com app. Back again tomorrow.
Days 2 to 6. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.